Hello, and welcome to another episode of Freelancing After 50. I'm your host, Paul Chaney. My guest today is Urban Adams. Urban is a financial advisor with Dynamic Advisor Solutions based in Phoenix, Arizona. He works with clients all over the country, specializing in investment management solutions and financial planning services. Our topic today is financial wellness, how freelancers can better manage uneven income and set aside funds for lifestyle planning, taxes, and retirement. Well, Urban, welcome to Freelancing After 50. It's a pleasure to have you as my guest.
Absolutely, Paul. Thanks very much for having me and looking forward to our conversation today.
Well, our goal today is to provide some practical lessons for freelancers age 50 and older, focusing on four areas primarily: managing uneven income, lifestyle planning, setting aside funds for taxes, and retirement asset planning. Now, that's a pretty tall order to get accomplished in about 20 minutes, but I think we can do it, okay? So let's start with the most pressing issue, and that is managing uneven income. What advice would you give freelancers? And by the way, feel free to share your own story, because I know you have kind of a unique situation yourself.
Absolutely. Thanks. I would say that the first point of advice I would give our listeners is that for uneven income and managing that, it would be a matter of making sure that you have a good handle on your monthly expenses, whether that be business or personal. In essence, have an idea of what that core dollars going out on a monthly basis is. Once you have a handle on that, then there are a couple of other items that I've put in place for myself. I suggest to my, the individuals I work with, and that would be things like separating out your business and personal expenses, say through an account that manages all your personal expenses. You have your business income and expenses, and that way it'll make your CPA happier too. And we'll talk about our CPA relationships maybe a little bit later, but that will certainly help segregate things. And then some will even take it a further level and create an additional account for those tax payments that we know are necessary on a quarterly basis for all of us freelancers.
Yeah, I think you've hit on something that is probably, of course I can't paint with too broad a brush, but I know for me and probably many other freelancers, really thinking of this as a business and therefore treating it like one. That's a note that I've hit on, in the past in this podcast, but the idea just simply of separating out your business expenses, things like that are, it seems so elementary and common sense, but I think many of us maybe have, failed to do that in a way that is adequate, as it were. I know for me, and I'm my own worst enemy where this kind of stuff is concerned, separating out those business expenses and keeping a separate checking account maybe, or whatever the case may be, is a bit problematic. So your advice is certainly well taken.
It can be difficult, and I think it is something that's very important for all of us freelancers to remember, is that we are really wearing two hats. We're both the employee and the employer, and it's important to make sure that we're recognizing, which hat we're wearing at any given time, so that we do have we are taking our business seriously. We're going to be successful, and the more that we have that ownership mindset about our business, I think the more likely we'll be successful.
Would you also advise just to kind of put yourself on a salary, as it were? Because, you may have excess one month, obviously, and lack the next, and trying to find an even keel or a way to sort of level that out seems to me to be a pretty reasonable thing to do. What do you think?
That's a really great example. In fact, I've put that in place for myself. So you mentioned a moment ago my unique experience, and I have four paydays a year, and I have to manage that effectively in a way that what I do is I pay myself a salary a couple times a month, just like a typical individual who's working for an employer. Two times a month, I pay myself. I set aside some for taxes, and I also keep a reserve that allows me to sort of weather those ups and downs And especially throughout a quarter, you have unexpected expenditures that come up, you have your regular expenses, and it allows me to better handle those unexpected expenditures because I've got the reserve, and the reserve will fluctuate from time to time, and I'll replenish it in better, you know, better quarters. And I think that that's, you know, I found that to be very helpful for me in managing cash flow throughout a year.
Well, excellent advice. And how important would you say adhering to this advice is as it pertains to lifestyle planning? And when I think of lifestyle planning, I'm thinking of things like everything from a vacation to home improvement to maybe buying a car or even paying off, you know, debt or something like that. Obviously, those, I would think those two kind of go hand in hand, do they not?
Absolutely, they do. And I, you know, I use an example for myself again to even this year. So at the beginning of the year, I put down some money on a rather large vacation, probably the largest one I've ever endeavored to take. And of course, the year has gone as it has. Market returns are a little low, and I've seen some uneven income in my own right. But that reserve has helped me finish the payments for that vacation that will take place toward the end of this year, and not have to worry about whether or not I can actually go on it, or worry about the cash flow during that period of time. So, you know, using that vacation example is great, but really any of the other one-off expenditures that you talked about, that reserve and managing your, you know, your income and your budget, if you will, on a monthly basis, all makes those items more likely and not have to be passed over potentially.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk more about savings, particularly as it pertains to retirement in just a few minutes. Obviously, if we're dealing with folks who are 50 and older, retirement, if it's in the picture, is not that far away. But before we get to that, let's talk about what for me is kind of a rather sticky issue, and that is paying taxes. I know self-employed people are supposed to pay taxes quarterly. Admittedly, that's something I'm not very good at. But I mean, really, is that even realistic? And if it is, how do people go about doing it?
Yeah, I would say that, yes, it is. It is realistic. It is possible. I had my own growing pains as I was moving out into a full-time entrepreneur freelancing role myself, because I had worked for a number of years as a W-2 employee, didn't really have to worry about it. And those first couple of years were pretty difficult. I was not great on keeping up with those. What I've done is incorporated that into that salary that I pay myself on a monthly basis. A portion of that, and I've set aside a certain percentage, goes into what I call my tax account, and that's where I pay my quarterly taxes each time the quarterly payment comes around. Certainly keeps my CPA happy. It certainly keeps the IRS happy, because if you don't pay those, there can be taxes and penalties for not paying them on time, and that can add up to your tax bill. Which, you know, I'm certainly not here giving tax advice, but I will say that best practice: pay the quarterly taxes at least a certain amount. And, you know, if you find that you paid a little less, then you'll pay more when you file your return. And, you know, maybe in the years following, you adjust that quarterly amount to, you know, to adjust for the income that given year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are going to do an episode on taxes solely down the road. I'm not sure exactly how soon that's going to take place, but yeah. And, you know, so what you're saying is when you get income, and in your case, four times a year, I don't know if I could handle something like that, but you're saying you set aside money you write a check for your salary, you set aside money into some kind of, I guess, short-term savings reserve to be used in whatever way it's needed. And then you also set aside this percentage for taxes. Now, are all these in separate accounts, or how are you accounting for the money you're setting aside, let's just say, for taxes?
You're exactly right. There is a separate account for each one of those. Now, it may, you know, our listeners may feel differently about the tax and the reserve account that might be combined into one. For me, I feel much better with knowing that this is the account that's the tax bucket that I'll fill up every quarter, empty every time I want to pay my quarterly taxes, and refill it again. Whereas the reserve, then I can keep it. And I know that I'm not going to commingle those funds and, you know, run into that issue of, oh, I need something for an unexpected expense, but now all of a sudden I don't have the taxes to pay for the quarter. I don't want to run into that. And for me, that's worked best, having those separate accounts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's move on to talking about, and really kind of the primary area I think we were going to focus on today was really talking about retirement. Again, given that, you know, we're dealing with people who are older, retirement not being that far away, I think if retirement planning has not been done well, then this is a particularly critical issue. But just based on your experience working with, you know, self-employed people, freelancers who are older, what would you say before we get into talking about how to go about it, setting aside these funds or getting ready, what would you say is the current state of people age 50 and older regarding retirement readiness?
It varies. And I would say that there's a good number of the clients that I work with on an ongoing basis that are self-employed small business owners or in some capacity like that. And I would say that their levels of readiness are varied just as much as they are varied in their businesses, for instance. Because their needs are different. And that's it's very unique. Each one has their own view of what retirement, quote unquote, retirement is and what that will be for them. I think one of the things for all of us over 50 need to do is understand where we stand, meaning what is our vision of what retirement looks like? Where are we with our current progress toward achieving that? And what things can we do if we're not quite there yet? What things can we do to implement to make sure that we have a better chance of getting to that point? And that's really the crux of, you know, conversations on a regular basis that I have. It's I'd say that regardless of where one finds themselves in the readiness category, though, for retirement, there's a certain level of relief when they know where they stand, regardless if it's great news or not so great news, simply because it's much better than going into it blind.
Well, let's be honest, for those of us who may not have planned well or set aside a substantial amount in years past for whatever reason, is retirement even in the picture, do you think? And if it is, what are some, what do we need to be doing now to help ourselves?
Well, there's no better time than the present to put away money for retirement. So if we think about some of the other ways that we were segmenting the income that comes in on a regular basis, we've got our, handling our monthly expenses. We've got our set aside for taxes. We've got our reserve for the uneven periods. And we have to carve out some of that for retirement as well. And I do the same. I contribute on a monthly basis to my account for retirement purposes myself. And then the other thing to think about, we're all freelancers. We've all got our own businesses. Some may have a tangible business that we could sell that has some value to it. Others may not, but that's, individuals can address that situation. But some may find that they've got a business asset to sell as well that they could monetize. The other is we're all looking at different ways and different views of what retirement is. Some want to be on the golf course every single day from the day they stop working. I would say that that's the exception more than the rule for the folks I talk to on a regular basis. I would say that more it's a change in vocation sometimes, doing something for the love of it that they can also be compensated for. Others, like me, at this point, I've got another 15, 20 years and I don't see any true retirement where I'm not working a day. That could change, but I think that there's a wide variety of solutions. Not one definition of retirement works for all.
Very true. And of course, as you reach that age of 65 or some even take it sooner, I took it at full retirement age, which for me was 66 and 2 months. And that is Social Security, which hopefully, helps provide some cushion or at least financial sort of foundation, I guess you could say, to build on. I don't look at my Social Security as as anything other than another income stream at this point, because I'm not working necessarily any less. And for me, I don't anticipate working any less as long as I have, you know, a brain in my head to be able to continue to work. So
I agree. Well, yeah.
Is there anything we missed? I mean, what other financial planning advice might you give? And particularly, is there any one piece, I guess, of advice that you would say maybe stands out above the rest?
Well, I would say that for freelancers to understand that there are vehicles with which for them to save for retirement. Just because you don't work for an employer who offers a 401k doesn't mean you're out of choices as far as saving for retirement. And you have options to save in a free manner that is tax-free. You have a way to save that could potentially be tax-deferred, or even outside of any sort of retirement protection, if you will, in the form of a taxable or what we might call a non-qualified account, meaning it's not, it doesn't have any advantages or disadvantages to contributing, but the funds are also readily available for you. No penalties for taking them out early. So I would say that would be the first thing to recognize is, A, there are ways that you can save. It's not too late. I would say that the worst thing to do is nothing, because I think a lot of people could end up worrying about their situation and it turns into somewhat of a paralysis situation. And then they don't do anything. And while time is your friend, and time may not be our best friend where we are age-wise, but we still have time available to us, and we should take the most advantage of it that we can, you know, and that's time for the opportunity to put money away and invest, obviously. So
just kind of wrap up, what you're saying is, you know, managing the uneven income, find ways to kind of level that out, pay yourself a salary, determine what you need to live, you know, the amount you need to live on, set aside some money in reserve, set aside and have a separate account for your taxes so that you can pay them quarterly. And then as far as retirement goes, again, set aside money in various vehicles for that. By the way, is there one vehicle, a financial sort of vehicle you would advise people to use more than another, or give us a little bit of insight to that?
So I touched on that a little bit when I mentioned the tax-free and tax-deferred components. Yeah. So what a lot of self-employed individuals will use, especially the solo, you know, the sole practitioner, a SEP IRA, which is SEP, Simplified Employee Pension, very easy to administer, not a ton of administrative rules or expenses or anything like that. Very simple to make contributions. And they go in as tax deferred and grow tax deferred until you start drawing up on it for income and retirement. On the other hand, you know, from a tax-free perspective, many of us would probably still fit into that category, being able to make that Roth IRA contribution. And Roth IRAs, as you know, are tax money, but then when they come out, when the assets come out of a Roth IRA, they're tax-free, and that can help boost income because, of course, you're getting 100% of the money that you're taking out then. So we can make individual contributions to Roth IRAs. And then we can also be efficient on a tax basis by investing outside of retirement. It can still be invested similarly to your retirement accounts. It can grow. But the only thing you're subject to at that point is the capital gains taxes that are associated with it. And some of us might find ourselves in a very low capital gains tax rate. And if that's the case, it might be more advantageous to accumulate funds that can contribute to retirement in that manner. But all three could be a component. It's not one versus the other necessarily.
I see. Okay, well, thank you. And I appreciate your time today. If you're open to it, how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more or connect with you, and, you know, as the case may be?
Yeah, I would love to hear from our audience. I have a website. It's very simple. It's my first and last name, urbanadams.com. I send out a twice monthly newsletter. Visitors to the site can sign up for the newsletter. There are no sales pitches. It's just me. So I'm that solo practitioner. So if you reach out, I'll be the one who responds. And anyone who would like to, you know, schedule a conversation with me is able to do that on the website as well.
Well, you've provided some very practical, actionable workable advice today, and I appreciate it very much. And I know our audience does as well. So thank you again.
Paul, thanks again. My pleasure today. And thank you to all who are listening.
Well, that wraps another episode of Freelancing After 50. Again, my guest was financial investment advisor Urban Adams. In 2 weeks, my guest will be Carol Alexander, a tenured freelance writer. We'll talk about why it's smart to specialize in a marketable niche and how to go about it. In the meantime, be sure and subscribe to this podcast and my bi-weekly newsletter by the same name. You can do that by going to freelancingafter50.com. Again, that's freelancingafter50.com, and 50 is spelled out F-I-F-T-Y. Well, I hope you'll join me again in 2 weeks when we once again discuss the joys and challenges of freelancing after 50.